We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I began to tell as many people as I can about the benefits of eating dried grapes. It is important that you include in your diet dried grapes. And it's all about raising awareness. I understand it'll take a minute to get that one. Raising awareness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Let's pray, and then we want to read this text, and then the Lord will help us say some things from it that will be helpful and beneficial for us and glorifying to Him. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful and thankful for Your Word that we are preparing to read and to preach from, knowing that as we read it, we're unable to understand it. As we preach it, we're unable to exhaust it, unable to adequately explain it without the work of the Spirit of God. And so we ask that You would help us tonight as we preach and as we listen and as we hear, that You would help us to, You would help make Your Word to go forth with power. God, it would fall upon the ears of Your people. They would hear Your voice. They would follow You in it. And God, we will thank You and praise You for what You'll do. Your Word is alive, and I pray, God, that You would awake us to the awareness of that. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake we pray. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And that's God's word, and all God's people said, Amen. I want to start a new series tonight, but I want to do it in the same way that we did the last series. In the last series, we looked biblically at what the Bible says about the heart of man. Instead of relying on man's thoughts and our own thoughts, our own assumptions and presumptions, I thought it was important that we just take some time and look at what the Bible says, what God says about our heart, because what God says about our heart is true. Whether we want to believe it or not, what God says about our hearts is true. And so I want to sort of the same way take a theme, scriptural theme, look at it by doing exposition of various passages that have that particular theme in the verse. And so what I want to look at for the next few weeks is the subject of hope. What does the Bible say about hope? What is hope? Where does hope come from? What does hope center upon? What is the fruit of hope? And other things like that. In verse 3 of 1 Peter, Peter is praising God the Father. It is a doxology, it is a elevation of God the Father, because He has begotten us, us being those who are saved, those who are redeemed, those who are the children of God. He has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that fades not away, and is reserved in heaven for you. You who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So I want to look at what this passage of Scripture says about hope, and learn some things from this, what God says our hope is. So let's begin by looking here at number one, the surety of our hope. The surety of our hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, when we use in the modern English language the word hope, we use it in a different way than the Bible uses hope. So we can't approach our understanding of hope by looking at our own language. Because when we use the word hope, it's absent of any degree of certainty. It deals only with our wishes and our desires. Well, I hope it rains today. Well, it might rain, and then again it might not. Or I hope so-and-so comes to church tonight. Well, they might come, and then again they might not. So when we use the word hope, we use it in a way that it doesn't have very much certainty in it. We hope so, but we don't know so. We think hope is sometimes just optimism. Well, I hope things straighten up. I hope things get better. That's not the biblical meaning of hope. And the main thing that I want to do is show you from Scripture that biblical hope is not a desire for something good in the future, but rather biblical hope is a confident expectation of something good in the future. Hope is future-oriented, say amen. Hope is not about today. Hope is about tomorrow and beyond. Hope is future-oriented, and it speaks of the surety of something good happening in the future. Our hope is something good happening in the future. It is the confidence of future blessing, right? The Christian hope is the confidence of a future blessing. And it's not an earthly future blessing. It is an eternal future blessing. Biblical hope not only desires something good for the future. I hope there's a heaven. No, biblical hope expects future blessing. And it not only expects it to happen, it is confident that it will happen. Say amen. There is a certainty that the good we expect will be done. So when the Word of God tells us in the book of Psalms, hope in God, that's what it says, hope in God, it doesn't mean close your eyes and cross your fingers, or close your fingers and cross your eyes. It means, to hope in God means to expect great things from God. It does not mean God might work. It means be confident that God will work. Are you with me? So hope is about something future. It's about something good happening in the future, and it is expected and sure to be. It is not that it might be, but that it shall be. There is nothing uncertain or unsure about our Christian hope. We're not hoping there's a heaven. We're not hoping we get there. We're not hoping Jesus returns. We know there's a heaven. And we know we're going, and we know Jesus is coming again. It is a sure and certain reality. Number two, notice not only the surety of our hope, notice the source of our hope. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So the reason that Peter praises and exalts God the Father of Jesus Christ, is because he has caused us who believe to have a hope. A lively hope, and it comes to us in salvation. Say amen. So God is the source of our hope. If we have a hope, it's because God has provided the hope. Matter of fact, the Word of God actually says that he has caused us to have a lively hope. He is the source. He is the cause. The certainty that we have of the future blessing of God is a gift from God. God our Father and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ has graciously done something for us. He has given us in salvation a hope. So very simply put, if you're listening well, if you're not a Christian, if you haven't been born again, you do not have this hope. Say amen. It comes to us through the new birth. So non-Christians, non-believers, don't have the kind of hope that the Bible is speaking of here. And if you live in this world without God, you will only live with a hope in this world and a hope in yourself, and both of those hopes will die and let you down. That's how it goes. But when you're born into the family of God, you are given a living hope, a hope that never dies. And God has caused us to be born again to a living hope. And the only way that you can become an heir of God would to become a child of God, right? You must be a child of God to have an inheritance from God. And so God has wonderfully, miraculously, supernaturally given us life. And when he gave us life, he gave us a hope. Jesus says to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. You're not going to inherit what God has for his people. If you don't, be born again. So Peter says, blessed be the God, glory be the God, who has caused us to be born again, because this born again experience has put us into the family of God and given us a lively hope. It is a spiritual birth that God produces in the power of regeneration through the Word of God that gives us this hope. You heard the gospel. You believe the gospel. God gave you a new life. And God gave you a living hope. So everyone that's been born again has this hope. And if you haven't been born again, you don't. And the reason that we have to be born again is because flesh does not inherit the kingdom of God. And we are all flesh and simply flesh until we are born again of the Spirit. Amen. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. So if there is going to be spiritual life in us, it must be birthed in us by the Spirit. And if there's going to be a hope, it has to be birthed in us by God Himself. You must be born of the Spirit. So, that means, in and of ourselves, we don't have this hope. We don't have it naturally, and we cannot obtain it naturally. Everything we hope for, everything we put our hope in, fails us. Regeneration is a work of God, not man. And it is required for us to have this hope. Have you thought about what it means to be a Christian, to be a child of God? Do you not stand amazed? Are you not speechless that tonight you're saved? Do you look back and wonder how in the world God miraculously saved you? Or do you take so much credit for it yourself, it doesn't occur to you that you ought to fall on your face and worship God for it? Amen. That you ought to stand in awe of it? It is a miracle that I believe. It's a miracle that you believe. And we treat it so flippantly. If you have any true spiritual desire for God, that's God's work in you. If you have any love for holiness, that's God's work in you. If you have any hatred for sin, that's God's work in you. If you have a mustard seed of faith in Christ, that's God's work in you. None of that is you. All of that is God. And you should be astounded, and you should consider and fall on your face tonight that you by nature were the children of wrath and the children of devil, and yet you believe in Christ and are a child of the Almighty King. That's God's work in you, not yours. Regeneration is a glorious work of God, and it is according to His abundant mercy that He has birthed us into this lively hope. Our born-again experience is because of the mercy of God. It's not because we deserve it. It's not because we've earned it. So let me ask you a question. Who needs mercy? Who needs mercy? Sinners need mercy. Guilty people need mercy. Say amen. Guilty people don't want justice. Guilty people want mercy. So who needs mercy? The guilty need mercy. Sinners need mercy. It is those who are under the misery that is caused by sin. They need mercy. We're all sinners. We all stand in need of grace and mercy. And the motive of our receiving this lively hope, the motive of our receiving life eternal, is the merciful heart of God toward those who are in misery because of their sin. Without this hope, we are just miserable men. Say amen. Do you know what unbelievers are? Miserable. Say amen. You know why they're miserable? They have no hope. It is the new birth that gives us this hope. It is the new birth that brings us under the mercy of God. It is this new birth that gives us life eternal. And He, God, deals with our misery with this hope. Now understand that. What secures this hope for us who are birthed as children into the family of God is, according to Peter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, our hope that is future-oriented is grounded on something that has happened in the past. It is the resurrection of Jesus that gives us assurance of our own resurrection. It is the eternal life of God that gives us hope for our own eternal life. Think about this. If Jesus had remained in the grave, what hope would we have that we too would not remain in the grave? You see, the quest of lost men to find the bones of Jesus is simply to take away your hope. Our hope given to us through the new birth is grounded in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As He came out of the grave, we're coming out of the grave. As He went to be with the Father, we're going to be with the Father as well. Jesus arose, and we have the firm assurance that we in Christ will rise too. Our hope comes from somewhere else besides us, and it comes from somewhere else besides this earth. It comes from God. Number three, not only do we see here in this text the surety of our hope and the source of our hope, but I want to look real quickly, and I'll be done, at the substance of our hope. Now, I want to say this, and I want you to listen very closely. The Christian hope is not if we're good enough Christians, then our marriages are going to be better. Or if we're good enough Christians, then our children are going to treat us right. Or if we're good enough Christians, our parents aren't going to be so grouchy. Elon told me to put that one in. Our Christian hope is not if we're good enough Christians that our business is going to be bursting at the seams and we're going to be making all kinds of money and we're going to have all the friends we want and we're going to be able to go where we want and do what we want, how we want. We're going to have great health if we're good enough Christians. That's not the Christian hope. The Christian hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and in our resurrection. Because of His resurrection. In other words, Peter is saying, your hope is not here. Say amen. Your hope is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that guarantees your future resurrection, and all the blessings that you are looking for are connected to that resurrection, and they will not be experienced apart from that resurrection. So the Christian hope is not primarily, and Christianity itself is not primarily about this world. It's about our hope in Christ in the world to come. Look at verse number 4. To an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, if you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, you have a hope that nobody can touch. Say amen. You have a hope that no one can take away. Because it's what? It's unfading, it's imperishable, it's undefiled. It is being kept in heaven, guarded in heaven for you. Understand that. Now, understand you have reason to be apprehensive if I'm the one guarding it. But I'm not the one guarding it. Guess who's guarding it? God's guarding it. Say amen. Your inheritance, your hope is in heaven, reserved, guarded for you. And God is on guard, and there's no one that can mess with your hope. So your hope doesn't change. What you hope for today is what you'll hope for in 10 years. No one can take it away. No circumstance in life can increase it or decrease it. Say amen. It doesn't matter what you do here. If your faith is in Christ, your hope is settled in heaven. Oh, I'll tell you what, I got to do better. No, Christ did perfectly. And your hope that is reserved for you in heaven is unaffected by anything that happens in this life. It is your hope. And it should be your joy to be in this life knowing that everything is tied to that life. Our inheritance never fades. It never has a defect. It's never corrupted. It's never plundered. All we have in heaven is forever ours and forever unchanged because it is guarded by an unchanging God. Can I lose my hope? No. Say amen. Can I get to heaven one day and find out that God has given my inheritance to someone else? Nope. My inheritance, my hope is guarded by God. It's reserved in heaven just for me. Say amen. I'm going to get it. It's mine. God gave it to me when He regenerated my heart. When He made me His child, God wrote me into the will. And notice something here. This is remarkable. This is something that ought to make Baptists get up and run a little bit. Peter says this hope, this inheritance is being kept for you to make sure that when you get there, what God has reserved for you is yours. Now you might say, well, preacher, what if I don't get there? What if I mess up? What if I lose my salvation? Notice what it says here. Not only is your hope being kept for you, but you're being kept for your hope. Somebody help me. God ain't leaving any stone unturned. He's covering both ends of the spectrum. He's got your hope guarded and He's got you guarded. When you get there, and He's going to make sure you get there, your hope is waiting for you when He gets you there. It is reserved in heaven for you. It is reserved for you not because of you, but in spite of you. With all of your weaknesses, with all of your struggles, this unchanging inheritance is reserved in heaven for you, not for somebody else. And you are being kept for it. You ever make a reservation? Make a reservation. Hopefully, you'll get a table. They might give your reservation to somebody else. Or you might not make it to the reservation. What God says is, your reservation is in your name. It's not going to be given to anybody else, and He's going to make sure you get there. Say amen. It is yours, and He is guarding it, and He is guarding you. So the Christian hope might not be realized here. It's not to be expected here, but in the future it is. How do I know that when I draw my last breath, I am going to enter into the glory of God and I am going to partake of the inheritance that God has for me in my hope? Because God's guarding it and God's guarding me. And He's going to put them both together. Say amen. Our hope is not found in if things are hard, they're going to get easier, or if things are bad, they're going to get better. Our hope is not diminished if things are good or things get worse. That's not our hope. Our final healing doesn't come until the resurrection of the dead. Say amen. And what this means, are you listening? You say, well, what's that mean for me today? What that means is you can live this life boldly for Christ. Amen. You can live this life courageously for Christ. You can live this life for Christ knowing that no matter how painful things get in this life doesn't have the final word. There is a final victory that still awaits us. And the successes of life and the pains of life, no matter how bad they are or how wonderful they are not our hope. And they are not our blessing. That's still to come. So, you can throw yourself into this life. You can serve. You can love. You can give. And you know this is not my final hope. We talked about the rich young ruler in Sunday school this morning. And we talked about him after church as well. He comes to Christ and he says, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus gives him law, right? Don't murder, don't steal, don't commit adultery, honor your father and mother. And he said, I've done these from my youth up. And Jesus says, well, go sell all you have and give it to the poor and follow me. And he goes away sorrowful. You know why? Because his possessions were his hope. Say amen. His hope wasn't in eternity. I tried to say that this morning, but I didn't say it very well. His hope was not in eternity because he hadn't been born again. Your hope is not here. So live boldly here. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Kill us? That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? Just put us right immediately in the presence of our inheritance. To make our hope something of an immediate reality. Live boldly for Christ. Live courageous for Christ. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Serve them well. Give to the church. Because this is not your hope. Your hope is there. No matter what happens, nobody can take away my hope, because nothing can take away the resurrection, because Jesus has already been resurrected from the dead. My hope is sure, and it is as sure as the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and I am absolutely sure of that. So you can live boldly, you can serve God. You can enjoy each day. You can enjoy Him now. Because whether things are good or whether things are bad or whether things get better or not, our hope is not here. Amen. Is our country going to get better? I don't know. I don't know. My hope doesn't depend upon that. My hope's somewhere else. In someone else. Not here. So, Christ was teaching His disciples to live selflessly and live sacrificially. And you can only do that if you have been born again and you have received a lively hope that is still yet to come. Say amen. This is what I say. Go out of this world broke, because you've got a treasure over there. Say amen. Spend it all on God. Amen. Let's pray.